Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and evermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. I love this part that it says, who humbles himself, this is speaking of God, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. What a magnificent description of Jesus himself, who humbled himself to be able to behold us, to actually not just behold us, but come in our likeness and to take upon himself the life of a man. God himself taking upon himself the life of a man so that you and I could have an opportunity to come back to the Father, to be free, to have liberty, to be saved, to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. What a powerful, powerful thought this morning for us to remember that we have a God who lowered himself below the angels and came and dwelt among us. But now he doesn't just go back to the heavens. He now dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. So this morning as we worship, as we lift our hearts before the Lord, let's remember the God that we serve, that he has such compassion and such love for us that he gave his only son. That's how he demonstrated. He demonstrated once and for all, I love you. And he said, I'm going to give you my son, and that's going to prove it. So meditate on that this morning, how much the Lord loves you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together, Lord, in your name as a body of believers, as a faith family. And Father, we ask today that as we worship you, Lord, that we would move beyond, Lord, this natural realm into the supernatural, in your presence, God, into a place, Lord, of intimacy and communion. Lord, and as we take communion today, as those of us who choose to, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would remember, Lord, your body and your blood, Lord, the sacrifice that was made for us, Lord, the gift that was given to us, Lord, of life and life eternal. Lord, I pray right now, if there's anyone in here, Lord, that's heavy heart, Lord, that you would just lift them up, God, that you would give them encouragement, Lord, that you would strengthen those heavy hands, Lord. You would strengthen, Lord, those emotions, God, that have been wayward with the wind and tossed by the sea. God, we pray that you would just allow them, Lord, to find safety and refuge in you. So, Lord, we exalt your name. We magnify you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this week has been a rough week for me. Somebody decided to steal my information from somewhere and clone my debit card and used it for like $160 at a couple stores. And then last night, my husband's car was ransacked while we were in his workplace, and they stole some of his tools that we just bought him in the last few months to put together some stuff that he needed to do in the outer offices for people, and a drill and all this stuff. We didn't buy higher-end stuff, but they still weren't cheap. And so I was complaining to Casey's husband this morning and to Tara and Pastor Mike, and then the Lord started dropping in my soul. The bank called you before they let those charges go through. You and your husband didn't go outside until after they had left, and you were not surprised by intruders and harmed. And also, my purse was in my car. They didn't touch my purse. And it had my other credit card, had my identification, my social security number, had all that information in it. And he's reminding me how much he has protected us, even though all I'm seeing is the things that are irritating me and making me mad. And I want to say I've been professing some answered prayer to my kids this week about their dad. And it seemed like as soon as I opened my mouth and started speaking the truths and the answered prayer to my children, the enemy started attacking. And I'm not going to let him win. I'm going to still keep professing. I'm going to still keep testifying, and I'm going to still keep believing, because he's brought us through worse than this. And this stuff seems minor when you look at it in the big picture. But you know what? It's still enough to take our eyes off if we let it. I will stand here and I will say, I will not disbelieve the Lord's love for me, and I will not let the enemy win. And I will still keep professing the word of God over my husband and to my children, because I know that he will answer those prayers, because he is steadily. And the enemy, like Allison Rose said, the enemy is attacking the truth, because that's what he attacks, is truth. And the truth is, the Lord is working on my husband, and the enemy is attacking that. And I will not let him, and I will stand in the stead. And I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me in prayer for my children, for my husband, for your own family members. Because any time that you start seeing that the Lord is answering you, the enemy is going to attack you. But stand in the stead and remember, it is well. It will always be well as long as we are standing in him.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making way for us to be back with the Father. Daddy, we belong to you. We are yours. We are yours, Lord. We are your purchased possession. Your son's blood purchased us. Your son's blood redeemed us, bought us back from the enemy, bought us back from the kingdom of darkness. And we now live in you. We live in your kingdom, Lord. We thank you for that. God, we have on us the title, Your Property, God. God's property, Lord. We receive that title, God. We thank you for that title, Lord, that you are, Lord, the owner of us, God. But you don't treat us like you own us, Lord. You treat us, Lord, like sons and daughters with love. We thank you for that, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. That word Abba means daddy. That's the best way to describe it in our terms. Daddy, daddy. It's different to call God daddy, isn't it? He's just so big and he's so immense. You know, we read that, you know, he created everything. You know, he created the heavens. You know, he lives in the heavens. And yet he gives us the privilege and honor to call him daddy. Wow. Wow. We take that for granted. I take that for granted. I know a lot. I'll get to the place where, you know, I come to God all reverent. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a time for reverence. But there's also a time just to get up in his lap, so to speak, you know, and realize that he's your father. He's your good, good father. He's your daddy. And that, you know, he's the one that has given us this life. This life that is a gift to us. And we get an opportunity to give a gift back to him of how we live this life, which is awesome. Well, we're going to have one of the Lord's kids come up. Phyllis, we're going to pray for you before you. I know we prayed for you once before, but more prayer is better than less prayer. I've heard from a good pastor friend of mine, Pastor Ken Parsley, right? More prayer is better than less prayer, so. So she goes in for a procedure on Wednesday, right, at about 1 o'clock over in Seattle. And she's, you know, just a little bit, you know, wondering what's going to happen. And so I just ask you women to come up and just also lay hands on her. And if someone also senses by faith that they've got, you know, an impartation for her, just come up and just, you know, put your hand on top of my hand. Father, we just thank you for your daughter. Thank you for Phyllis's life, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your daughter. Thank you, God, that you just hold her in your hand. God, that you care for her. Lord, that she's never out of your reach. She's never out of your care. Lord, your angels watch over her. Father, so we know that this procedure, God, is in your hands. And Lord, we pray that as she has done so many times, Lord, she just be able to release this and just put it into your hands. lay it at the altar, God, and be able to just go in your peace. And so, Phyllis, I'm going to speak a word over you that the Lord's spoken over his disciples and applies to us. Phyllis, peace I leave with you. The Lord's peace I give to you. It's not as the world gives, does Jesus give it to you. So don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Just rest in him, daughter. Rest in him. You're in good hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Does anyone else have a prayer for her? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She's getting a word that the Lord's carrying her every step, not just this week, but for the rest of her life as you continue to trust in him. Praise the Lord. That way everybody gets that good news, because that's a word for all of us, that he carries us. Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was a good worship time. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you don't need all the fancy. I mean, it's nice when we have live music, isn't it? But I mean, it's really about our hearts. Where do we set our hearts? Do we set our hearts, you know, on just in enjoying something, or do we set our hearts in someone? Do we place our hearts in him? Because we have that opportunity. Just, Lord, we give you our heart. We give you our heart in this time. And you know what? He comes through. I mean, you know, whether you're driving down the road, just listen to the radio, you can be just like you're in this service, or you can be just like you're at a Colosseum with 100 other thousand believers worshiping God. It can be that exciting. Praise the Lord. Okay, so do we have children? We don't have children. Okay. Well, praise God. She has an announcement. Okay.
Good morning. There are kids up there. Adam's here. Does he want to stay in or go out? Go out. Okay, Adam, come on down, baby. Good man, Charlie Brown. So this coming June 7th, here at the church from 6:30 to 7:30, Barb's cell group has put together what Barb is calling the gathering, and it's a women's night. And we're going to be in this hallway here. There's a beautiful reception room there that we're going to be in. Everybody needs to bring a snack to share, and we're going to encourage one another, pray for one another, just really just kind of unify together. So that is June 7th, which is a Tuesday. Barb, do we have invitations today or not? Okay, so Belle had them, but she wasn't able to come. So we'll get those out to you next week. So any other kids? No? Okay. Let's pray over Adam. You get all of the treats. You get all of the goodness. You get to soak it in, dude. That is so cool. Is he just not precious? Father, we just thank you for Adam and his heart, and that he wants to go and learn more about you. So, God, today, I just pray that his heart would be tender before you, that he would get everything that has been prepared for him, God, and that his heart would be touched and that his life would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, baby.
Thanks, bro. So I know I said that I was going to to end the Heart series, which wasn't even planned to be a series, but that's what it's been. It's a series on the heart. We've gone over preparing your heart, guarding your heart, integrity of your heart, releasing your heart, and treasure of your heart. Now, this week, I'm not teaching a little Bible snippet on how to study the Bible, but I'm going to, within this study, I use what I'm going to talk a little bit about next week. So, there's this little precursor to what we'll get to next week. So, we had those five that all kind of build on each other and all kind of intertwine with each other. And as I've been reading through my one-year Bible, as I've been going through the book of Proverbs, I've realized several times that I'm missing an aspect. That's possible. I'll say next week that I missed another aspect. Because how many know that the heart's a very big issue?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, how about this? How about that? How about not? How about if I turn it on? That might help. There we go. A happy heart. A happy heart. And, you know, a happy heart isn't just even though that is part of it. Let's take a look at a verse that will kind of give us an idea what I'm talking about. A happy heart. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. And if you don't know what that stuff is, I'll go over it a little bit here. New Living Translation says it this way. Oh, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And the LITV, which is the literal translation, says a cheerful heart makes good healing, but a stricken spirit dries the bones. So what does that mean? Let's take a look at the word merry. It's not, you know, we kind of say Merry Christmas is kind of where you get that word. Joyful, merry, glad, joyful, showing joy, you who rejoice. So a merry, a joyful, a glad heart. A merry, joyful, glad heart. Okay, well, it sounds pretty easy. Medicine. So what is this word, medicine? This one kind of threw me off, and I kind of really wanted to dig into the Hebrew. Guess what? This Hebrew word was only used one time in the Bible. Any time that happens, I think a word is pretty significant that it was used. So I studied it out, and the Hebrew symbols for this are a lifting type of object. I don't have the pictogram for it. And so it means a lifting of an illness. So the best word really to use is it's a cure. It's a healing. Now, when I read medicine, sometimes medicine doesn't work, does it? Anybody ever take medicine? It's like, this is not getting rid of this. And you try your next bout of medicine. Usually it's antibiotics, right? If people are on antibiotics, one bout doesn't kill the bug, you know, and maybe after four or five bouts, you finally killed it, at the same time killing all the flora in your stomach. So go light on the antibiotics. That's just a little health tip there. But it's like medicine. It's a healing. So a joyful heart is a healing. A joyful heart is a cure for what ails you. A joyful heart twice a day will keep the doctor away. You can take that to the bank, I guess. Broken. So what does this word broken mean? It's the Hebrew definition is the crushing of seeds for making spices. So like you ever seen one of those bowls that are like a stone? It's that crushing that what?
Pestle.
Pestle? Is that what it is?
That's what the handle is.
Okay, the handle. It's like a stone on stone and it crushes the seeds. It's a crushing. It means in the Strong's, in the Briggs Diver and I can't remember what the last initial, BDB, it means stricken. In the Strong's, it means smitten. That is figuratively afflicted, broken, stricken, or wounded. So a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, I thought this was interesting. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Wouldn't you think a broken heart dries the bones? What were you thinking, Solomon? Well, I'll show you. He is really smart because he knows exactly what he's saying there, okay? We'll learn that in another verse. So let's look at what dries means. Dries means to make dry, wither, to be dry, to become dry, to be dried up, to be withered. But it also means to be ashamed or confused or disappointed. So it's this kind of this shrinking back. It's this withering away. You know, you could see like plants when they don't get any water, you know, when we're having a drought. You see them what? Start to wither up, you start to dry. And what happens when that happens? The life is going from them. So it's the life leaving our bones. Now, why is the bones important? I would think the life leaving our blood or the life leading our... But the bones hold something that is very important for the blood. Does anybody know what that's all about? Any doctors? Marrow! He's a doctor now. But a broken spirit dries the bones. So the Hebrew word... Now, I want to kind of focus on the Hebrew because... And most of the Strong's and stuff, you're just going to say it's a strong bone. But the Hebrew... really starts breaking down this word. It is a dog gnawing on a bone or a relationship to the parent of that is from the marrow inside the bones. The translation exactly is like cartilage. Now that's not marrow, but marrow can be applied to it, but it's the soft part of the bone. So it's interesting that it's the translucent, elastic tissue that lines the joints of the bony skeleton. But a broken spirit dries the bones. So a broken, crushed spirit is going to suck the life out of us. Now, how do we get a broken and crushed spirit? Right? Where does that come from? Oh, here. Now, this is a commentator, John Gill. Sorry, I'm a little ahead of myself. This is a commentator, John Gill, and he commentates on this verse, the second part of it. And I liked it, so I went ahead and brought it up here. I'm going to talk about commentators next week. In the Bible study part of it. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. A spirit broken with sorrow, whether on spiritual or temporal accounts, as it weakens the nerves, it dries up the marrow in the bones and emaciates the body and reduces it to a skeleton. The joy or grief of the mind. Those passions of the soul have a very great influence upon the body, either for its good or hurt. Now, this guy was in... I think the 1700s. So he knew his stuff for being in the 1700s. Because we're going to listen to some doctors here in a minute. And we'll see that the doctor's basically validating exactly what John Gill is saying here in his commentary. So again, drying the bones. How do we get this broken spirit though? Well, look at Proverbs 15:13. We're going to go back two chapters. It says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A glad heart makes a happy face, but a broken heart crushes the spirit. A joyful heart makes a good face, but by grief of heart, the spirit is stricken. So we're learning here that it is still by the heart's sorrow, it is still by the heart's lack of merriness, the taking on the cares of the world, I would say. How many know that most of the time the world has, if you just let it, you know, you go through life, it's going to deliver to you at some point sorrow and misery. And unless you learn to refocus like you did, where's Vicky? Like you did, Vicky, right? You said, oh, wait a minute, my purse. They could have taken my purse. Oh, and wait a minute, you know, we could have been there. I mean, all of a sudden you realize what was bad could have been a lot worse, and that the grace of God and his protection was working in that circumstance. And you learn to be thankful even in a bad situation. And the bank too got hold of you. Praise the Lord for that. So it's a broken heart or a sorrowful heart that breaks the spirit. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is life to the body. But envy is rottenness to the bones. A peaceful heart. The sound is peace. It's a heart that's healthy and at rest. Leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Oh, is that not ever true? A healthy heart is the life of the flesh. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. So here we have lots of scriptures telling us that if we can keep our heart healthy, and how do we keep it healthy? We guard it, we protect it, we watch what's going into it, We watch what's coming out of it. We stay in Christ so that our heart is isolated and insulated from the world's pressures. I mean, those are ways that we protect our heart and keep it from going into a sorrowful state. Okay, so now I'm going to get into a little bit of some medical terms and stuff on this. So this is from the book Heal Your Heart. It's also in the Reader's Digest magazine, March 2015. So it says, the latest research indicates that stress and an inability to deal with it is a direct contributor to heart disease. Did anybody know that? Most people know. I mean, nurse here, Ken knows it. So, because you live with a nurse, because you have a wife. You did, right? The Lord is healing and strengthening. And yeah, I got to always correct, like, I have a thyroid condition and I try to not take possession of it. Then try to give it over to the Lord. But it is hard when you've had it for 20-something years like me. So I can appreciate that. For example, a study involving nearly 250,000 people found that anxiety was associated with a 26% increase in coronary heart disease over an 11-year period. Wow. And what is anxiety? It's anxiousness. It means that you're worrying about something. It means that you're thinking about something, and sometimes it's happened to you. Sometimes it hasn't happened to you. You're worried it's going to happen to you. It may never happen to you, but you're anxious about it. You're worried about it. So this gentleman who wrote this book, Heal Your Heart, is a 25-year coronary doctor. So he is someone in the field. He knows what he's talking about. So he's telling us how to have a healthy heart. Laugh hysterically. So let's read what he says. Deep belly laughter triggers the release of endorphins, which activate receptors in our blood vessels, linings, that signal the production of nitric oxide. Now, I did study this a little bit, but I'm not going to get into nitric oxide. But it is really helpful for us. This powerful chemical causes blood vessels dilation, increases blood flow, reduces vascular inflammation and buildup of cholesterol plaque, and decreases platelet thickness. Now, I have that issue, which lowers the risk of blood clots. Does that sound healthy? No, those don't sound healthy. But lowering that stuff by deep belly laughter. Now, when do we do deep belly laughter? My wife can probably answer to you when I do that. Okay. It usually takes a movie of some kind, a comedy, you know. She's going to give a story.
We were watching Baby's Day Out. We had friends over, so we were sitting on the floor. And we had only been married a few short months. And by the time they got to the park scene where the baby is under the coat of the man and then he lights the lighter on fire, and the man's britches catch on fire. By this time, he's rolling back and forth on the floor, laughing so hard that we stop watching the movie to watch him laughing so hard. But he couldn't stop laughing. Once he started, it was over. It was like, over. It was so funny. He
had
to be there.
I had some good nitric oxide that day, I think. So, again, This chemical that we release, or actually this gas that we release from the endorphins, which is a chemical, creates a lot of good things happening to our heart. So any of us with heart issues, the older you get, the more your heart could potentially have issues. Let's laugh more. Let's read on. In an early study, my team saw that people with heart disease were 40% less likely to use humor in an uncomfortable situation, such as having a water spill. Have a waiter spill water, a drink on them. Oh, that's what it is. Have a waiter spill a drink on them. I was reading water in there. Sorry. Then people with healthy heart. So in other words, you're at a restaurant. Someone spills water on you. If you have a healthy heart, you're more likely to laugh at the situation. Say, oh, don't worry about it. I spill water on me too. But if you're having heart issues, it's more likely, 40%, that you're going to have an issue with that waiter or with the water, with the Coke. In another study, when we asked people to watch a clip from Saving Private Ryan
or there's something about Mary, we found that participants' blood vessels were narrowing by up to 50% during the stress-inducing clip, while vessel dilation in people who watched a funny clip increased 22%. So this is interesting right here. After just 15 minutes of laughing, volunteers got the same vascular benefits. That's through the blood, that's your veins and stuff, as they would from spending 15 to 30 minutes at the gym or taking a daily statin. Is that not incredible? 15 minutes of laughing hard is better than 15 to 30 minutes in the gym. Somebody should be up on their chair shouting right now, because I think we found a way to get rid of the having to exercise. No, I'm kidding. Jesse's smiling.
So is David.
Moses is happy. What's that? There you go. Watch funny movies while you're working out. It might even be a better combo. We'll do a study on that next. Okay, here we go. So cue the music. This is very interesting. Medical science is now proving what people have known for hundreds of years, that music is deeply healing. In one study, researchers found that listening to music 25 minutes daily for 4 weeks resulted in a 12 millimeter Hg reduction in systolic blood pressure. Now, I don't know exactly what that is, or what, but it sounds like it's probably dropping it by 12. Is that what it's doing, the number? She's a nurse. Okay. The top number, and a 5 millimeter Hg decrease in diastolic blood pressure. In other words, your blood pressure is going down. Results like these are equivalent to the benefit of taking a strong blood pressure medication. So this is listening to music now. Some of you are saying, I don't laugh at movies. You're thinking, I'm out of that. I'm too mature for laughing at movies. But listen to this. If you just listen to music, and I would advise listening to good worship music. That way you have your heart engaging with the Lord at the same time. That's powerful. How about this one? Cuddle up. During childhood visits to the doctor, I remember feeling that everything would be fine when my pediatrician would place his hand on my upper shoulder as he listened to my lungs. I remember me as a child, I was taking a test, and I would be like sweating because I can't remember this. I'm like getting all nervous. And it's like, And my teacher would just come up beside me and just put his arm on my shoulder. And all of a sudden, I'd like, oh, and I'd just calm right down. It's like, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and I would be able to start relaxing, and I could start. But, before that, I'm getting all tense, and I'm psyching myself out. And so that's my personal testimony about that. Early in my training, I did the same thing to my patients. Several studies support the idea that interpersonal touch has important heart health benefits. Now listen to this, guys. In one study, women who received frequent hugs from their partner showed reduced heart rates and blood pressure, as well as higher levels of the powerful neurotransmitter oxytocin, which leads to blood vessel dilation, which means the blood vessels get larger and less chance of clots or stroke or anything. So what's the key here, guys? Hug your wives.
A lot.
And a lot of times I see her stressed and stuff. Honey, give me a hug. And now I'm going to just say, the doctor's orders. Give me a hug, baby. Okay, here we go. Proverbs 17:22 from the Passion Translation really encapsulated this verse beautifully. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Isn't that great? That kind of says it all. Like, that's the Passion Translation. One more I want to leave you guys with, and actually prayed this today. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have a source that the world doesn't have. I remember before I knew the Lord, when I was troubled, I was troubled. And it usually took some outside source to get those troubles, at least to just numb for a while. They didn't go away. But, Jesus says, if you cast your cares upon me because I care for you, that we can then replace those cares with his yoke. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light. We don't have to carry a broken heart. We don't have to carry sorrow and pain and mourning, doom, despair, and agony on me. Jesse and I were singing that song the other day. This is a horrible song, but just remind us of Hee-Haw. But really, we don't, do we? We don't need to be on Hee-Haw. We can be in the river of life. And the river of life flows freely, folks, family. It does. It flows. And all we have to do is enter in. And I mean, even though it sounds like, how do I enter into the river of life? You dwell upon the Lord. You think upon the Lord. You meditate on his word. You meditate on his goodness. And you know what? You will shift from one place to another. It will happen. Maybe it won't happen right away. Maybe it won't happen the same day. But the next day, if you choose to say, Lord, you said, peace, I leave with you. So that means it's here. I'll give a little testimony. I was going through a time years ago, almost 27 years ago, I was having some medical issues. And, you know, it was when they did upper and lower GIs a lot different than they do. And I was having to have it in my mid-20s in upper and lower GI, and they were very difficult to go through. And because I had a problem, you know, with my digestive system, there were some signs and some symptoms. And so, you know, I went to the doctor, this is what we need to do. So I was laying on the couch one day, and I remember just, you know, thinking about, oh man, this could be the C word, all those things, you know, that you just, you know. And back then it wasn't as prevalent, but it still was, you know, big. And I ended up just saying, Lord, because I had memorized this verse years ago, I said, Lord, you said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. So I just lifted up my hands and said, Lord, I receive your peace. And I'm telling you, I felt it go through my full body when I just said, Lord, I receive your peace. It's here. By faith, I receive it. And it went through my whole body. You know, they did all those tests. They found nothing. He said, well, you know, it might have been something like this because that can happen to people your age, but we found nothing, you know. So when I received his peace, he was gracious enough at that time also to let me receive his healing. Now, did I need to receive his healing? No, because I received his peace in such way. Whatever the news was, I told my mom, I said, it's okay. Whatever it is, I'm good because I've received his peace.
Yeah, that's good.
And that trouble, that shaking in my heart was calmed down. And the fearfulness went away. And I just received what Jesus had already sent in the form of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I just said, Lord, thank you for your peace. Because he is peace. Mm-hmm. When we receive peace, we're receiving God. We're receiving him. You know, when we receive love, we're receiving God. We're receiving him. And I think a happy heart.
So the Lord actually spoke to me the scripture this morning as I was praying over what we were going to talk about today. And it's in 2 Corinthians 4:7. And it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the treasure we have in us already, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So this is really what he's talking about, that it's coming straight from God and that we're not depending on us. We're depending on him. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And it's because of the treasure he places in
Amen.
Us, not our abilities to get through it. Amen? I do have a story that I want to read to you, and I think maybe one more scripture. We'll see how it goes, but you know how... Excuse me, I am with my stories. I love them. And anybody that has pets, they will love this story. It's very sweet. Mary and her husband Jim had a dog named Lucky. Lucky was a real character. Whenever Mary and Jim had company coming for the weekend to visit, they would warn their friends not to leave their luggage open because Lucky would help himself to whatever struck his fancy. Inevitably, everyone would forget and something would come up missing. Mary or Jim would go to Lucky's toy box in the basement, and there the treasure would be amid all of Lucky's favorite toys. Lucky always stashed his finds in his toy box, and he was very particular that his toys stay in the toy box. It happened that Mary found out she had breast cancer. Something told her she was going to die of this disease. She was just sure it was fatal. She scheduled the double mastectomy, fear riding her shoulders. The night before she was to go into the hospital, she cuddled Lucky. A thought struck her, what would happen to Lucky? Although the three-year-old dog liked Jim, he was Mary's dog through and through. If I die, Lucky will be abandoned, Mary thought. He won't understand that I didn't want to leave him. The thought made her sadder than thinking of her own death. The double mastectomy was harder on Mary than her doctors had anticipated, and she was hospitalized for over 2 weeks. Jim took Lucky for his evening walk faithfully, but the little dog just drooped, whining and miserable. Finally, the day came for Mary to leave the hospital. When she arrived home, she was so exhausted she couldn't even make it up the steps to her bedroom. So Jim, got his wife comfortable on the couch and left her to nap. Lucky stood watching Mary, but he would not come over to her when she called. It made Mary sad, but sleep soon overcame and she dozed. When Mary woke for a second, she couldn't understand what was wrong. She couldn't move her head. Her body felt hot and heavy, but panic soon gave way to laughter when Mary realized the problem. She was covered, literally blanketed, with every treasure Lucky owned. While she had slept, the sorrowing dog had made trip after trip to the basement, bringing his beloved mistress all his favorite things in life. He had covered her with his love. Mary forgot about dying. Instead, she and Lucky began living again, walking further and further together every night. It's been 12 years now, and Mary is still cancer-free. God can use anything that he knows will minister to you. It can be music, a laughing movie, an animal, a spoken word, even just seeing a piece of creation and realizing how much attention he gave to things of lesser value than he gave to us. And the importance that he painted into each one. I was reading a commentary yesterday about a movie that was made, and the movie was supposed to be made like it was a summer movie, but they were filming it in the fall, so all of these guys had to get out and spray paint these colored trees green leaves so that it looked like it was summer. God doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to do that. He gives us what we need when we need it and at the right time. The other scripture that I was thinking about is when we were having transformed and encounters, and we were talking about what's the thing that Lou Giglio,
Laminin?
Laminin. It's the Lou Giglio clip, and if you've not seen it, I highly recommend that you go and pull it up. But he was speaking about laminin being in our body, and it's like the rebarb of our body. It's what holds us all together. And in the scripture in Colossians, I'm going to get to it because I want to read it out of, where is it? Wait, sorry. Can you look up Colossians? It's in the NLT, I believe. Colossians 1, 16 through 19.
Okay.
And the thing that I saw in there, after reading this first scripture in 2 Corinthians about us being crushed but not persecuted, you know, all of those things. I need in the NLT, though.
Oh, NLT, sorry.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're back to that.
Yeah, this is not set up right. Sorry.
It's okay.
116.
You need a hug?
Maybe later. I will get one. I'll prove it. Okay, Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together. Even when you feel crushed, even when you feel despaired, even when you feel depressed, even when things are very, very hard, he is holding you together.
Amen. Amen. So I know, you know, life can sometimes be contrary to that what we think the goodness of God is. And, you know, it's not, you know, anything to be ashamed of or hang your head or guilty about if you are having a troubled heart. Because Jesus says in this life, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have struggles. It's what we do with them when we get them. It's how long we stay, you know, in that place of gloom, despair, and agony on me. Do you know what I mean? You know, because sometimes it feels good. Is anybody with me? Does sometimes, for a little bit, it feels good to be miserable. I deserve this misery. I deserve this gloom. I deserve this cloud over my head. I've earned it.
Is it Pigpen that walks
across? Pigpen, yeah, he does. He's always got the dirt halo going around him, you know. But it's what we do with it when we're in it and how long we stay. Well, I think the key is once we realize that we don't have to stay there, that we have another way to deal with this, that's when we really have a choice of either having the mind of Christ or choosing the enemy's way. Because sometimes our soul just, you know, takes over for a moment. Or maybe for a week or two, you know, depending upon, you know, how long you've been walking with the Lord or, you know, how Irish you may be or something like that, you know, just to kind of put it, you know, into the terms that some individuals use. I would say that what you need to do is just stop and what you're doing and be quiet, be still, and start to know that he's God. Just start to put your hand on your heart, you know, if you have to. Put some good music on. If you don't have music, start singing a song. Now, that may throw you back for some of us. It's like, oh, it's worse now. But, you know, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. And let the Lord's presence come and start to just put, you know, his anointing power over your heart. Because, you know, we can't be the light of the world if we're walking in gloom, despair, and agony. We can't. If we're letting our heart be sorrowful, the world can't see the light of God. But when we do come out of it, especially when it's very, very difficult situations, and they see, you know, what's holding you together? It's God. Yeah. It's my Father. He's holding me together. When all this is falling apart around me, he's holding me together. He's got me in his hands. Phyllis, he's got you in his hands. Isn't that good news? That you're not going in there alone. That he's watching over the doctors. He's guiding their hands. He's making sure that you, his child, is taken care of. That's good news. That's good news that we have a Father who oversees our life in such a way that he doesn't oversee it in a way, you know, pointing out all just our bad spots. He oversees our life so that we can become who he wants us to be. But I'm going to give anyone here an opportunity. If you've been struggling in your heart and you know, you can be honest before all of us, you know, just receive the peace of God. And so by doing that, I'd ask you just to come up front. You don't have to come up front, but it's a point of contact where my faith can connect with your faith and you can receive. Gay's faith can connect with your faith and you can receive. And have some peace come if your heart's been in turmoil. If no one here is like that, praise God, then that means that we're resting in his presence. But Jesse, would you just put on Kimberly and Alberto and just kind of have it like at half volume for a moment while I pray and give people an opportunity to come up? If you've been troubled with anything, maybe, again, the doctor's report, maybe it's a relationship issue, maybe it's a job issue, maybe it's something going on with the family and the kids, anything. You know, you have the Lord on your side, and anytime you can come to him. But, you know, we're family here, and sometimes it's just good to be in agreement with family, to be in agreement with someone that believes that you are in his hands, believes that it's going to be all good. So, Father, we do. We come before you right now, Lord, with everything that we have, with all of our baggage, with all of our hurt and pain in our heart. Lord, we come before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and you says that we can find mercy and help in time of need. So, Lord, we come. We come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hi, guys.
I don't usually step in here, but I just feel like the Lord is prompting me to talk about just some stuff that he has done. And he's always with us. There were times that I used to be in Mexico just selling. That was my job. And for those who sell, if you don't sell, you don't have money. So I needed food. I needed to pay stuff. I was living with my sister and my mom, and I didn't have any food. And my mom would come to me like, there's no food. And at times I would be like upset, like, you're looking that I get off working. What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. And that day that, you know, there was absolutely nothing to eat, someone would appear at my door. I was like, oh, I just decided to stop by. And she brought a basket with fruit and bread. And he's faithful. Just when you think that, you know, it's, you know, what are you going to do? He shows up in different ways. And I feel that he has always kind of pushed me to trust. And I've been struggling a lot. Like recently, well, I had a miscarriage. It was hard. And
I had medical issues. I had a diagnosis that it's genetic, and I'm fighting with it, and I'm like, those are not the genes from God. I don't want them. I reject them. I don't care what the doctor said, or I don't want to look at the stuff. I reject them. I don't want them. And then my family is just having constantly also health issues. And God is telling me to, he was telling me yesterday I was upset because I felt my brain was not working well. And I was feeling my body also weird. And I was upset. And I'm like, God, why? You said you have healed me. What's going on? And I felt like the Lord was telling me, be joyful. And then remind me of the scriptures when Paul is in jail. And it didn't matter what he was going through. He was joyful. So I was struggling in my spirit with that. And God kept telling me, be joyful. Be thankful. So I've been working on that. And I've been praying now in the spirit. Because also been prompting that God told me, well, he's in his word, he's like, he doesn't say sometimes pray in the spirit. He says every time pray in the spirit. And I realized that has filled me, that has been helping me. And now I'm getting to have peace. It's like when I start in the spirit, it's like he's filling all those stuff that I feel, all those gaps in my heart. And I know he's taking care of my family. It's hard, but he is God. And now I just want my relationship with him. I don't care about nothing else right now, but I'm telling him, all I want is you. You tell us that we need to walk in power, just like the apostles did. So that's what I want. So I want to, I am working on my relationship with him. And I just want to be able to walk in power. And I'm praying over my son. And I'm praying over my family. And I'm now, my mom and my sister, regarding of what they're going through, they're like, Betty, we feel different now when you pray for us. When we are in pain and we call you now, we can feel a difference. And then it's like we're feeling peace now. So I don't know. God is awesome, and I'm just going to stand believing that that power is going to come out of me. I don't know, but he's going to do it. He is God.